Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Come on, just lift your hands in adoration. We're so grateful, Jesus. We're so grateful, Jesus. Oh, come on, just worship Him. Just worship Him. Oh, you're so good, Lord. You're so good, Lord. Come and let it rise from your spirit this evening. Wherever you are, just consciously lift your hands. You can shut your eyes and just say, Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Oh, I worship your name, Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, just thank him. Just appreciate him for everything he has done for you. He delivered you from destruction. Oh, Shana Manela. He healed all your diseases. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. You are worthy of all our praise. You are worthy of all our praise. Oh, come on, just let it rise. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear your voice. Sana Manela Bayanele Lina. Sotana Banelina. Oh, with a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord, you reign. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Come on, proclaim the Lord, you reign. Come on, let your voices rise with a grateful heart. With a grateful heart, I lift my voice. I lift my hands and proclaim it. Proclaim the Lord, you reign. Okay.
of every of our praise. Oh, come on, wherever you are, you can just dance to him. He's so great. He's so great. Sabana heno sana lele lele. Mane no sane na mane lele.
Father, we thank you, honor you, praise you. It's always beautiful. It's always awesome. Always, always. And we thank you for this beautiful privilege that we have to be your sons. We appreciate this so mighty much. Thank you because you flood us again and again with revelation where this is concerned, that we may come into the fullness of all that you've made available for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for everybody tuning in, you know, whatever time we might be in. And thank you for your word that flows freely and unhindered this evening. Thank you. Thank you. We receive everything you have in store. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened. Our minds renewed. Oh, thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. You're welcome. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, we'll do quite some reading today, and I trust that, you know, those of you in front of me And those of you listening in, you know, we'll give it the attention it requires. Because something so important about the believer is identity. And we cannot overstretch that point. We cannot overstretch that reality. Naturally speaking, you're asked about your means of ID, whether it's your passport, you know, your driver's license, international passport, driver's license. And what they want to do is they want to look at the picture in the ID or identification material that you provided and see that you are the one in it. For the believer, our identity is God's word. So when you say, oh, what's my identity? You can't find it anywhere else. All right? You have to come to the word and find yourself in the word. And I want you to understand that. In the book of Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus went into the temple and then he got reading, went straight to the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That wasn't casual reading. That was very specific. That was what he came there to tell them. He ended reading, closed the book, and said to them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It was very specific. Basically, he found himself. You remember that from the age of 12, Jesus had been relating with scripture that we know. Obviously, he would have been relating with it before 12. But that we know was 12. He would obviously have had to read before that to be able to ask questions. So he found himself. He read through, found himself. See how John the Baptist found himself. They asked him, who are you? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He located himself in the scriptures. He didn't say, I'm the cousin of the person that is coming after. No. He didn't use human knowledge to identify himself. He used the purpose of God and the word of God to locate himself. Jesus did the same thing. Hebrews chapter 10 says, you know, referring to Jesus, that I come in the volume of the books to do your will. So he came to fulfill what had already been written. He came to fulfill what had already been done. You and I have got to find ourselves in scripture. You and I have got to locate ourselves. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what it is. And if you don't go into the scriptures, and I'm using scripture, Old and New Testament inclusive, because you can read the Old Testament with New Testament understanding. But we want you now. The only way to read the Old Testament with New Testament understanding, basically, really, sincerely, now, not because you can't read. Let me rewind and say it this way. The people who wrote what we have as New Testament, all they had was the Old Testament. I don't know if you got that. All right? Before Paul wrote his letters, what was Paul reading? He would have had to read Isaiah and all the other books. That means in those places, they saw the revelation of what they had to say. Because everything they said was already... Anybody gets that? So they didn't come with something out of it. No, it was already written. And then they looked at it and found everything God was going to say and brought it out. So that was what they read. Meaning I can read that and see what they saw. But God now has made it plain through them to us. So you and I now go to what has been made plain. We look at it. Then you could visit better through the Old Testament and say, oh, I get this now. Oh, this is what they're saying. Oh, that's what they're saying. I understand it better now because I've seen this point. Please say identity. Say identity. Identification. So we've got to get it clear. What exactly is my identity? Who am I? How exactly do I describe myself? Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1. Ephesians 3:1, and like I said, we'll do a bit of reading tonight. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1. The Amplified, if you don't mind. Amplified. So we'll just read through and then you see the mindset of this man of God. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1, Amplified, says, "For this reason, because I preach that you are thus built together," or built up together, "I, Paul, am a prisoner of Jesus the Christ for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship," I want you to follow this. "Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, his unmerited favor that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit," meaning God trusted Paul with certain things for the sake of the Gentiles. Verse 3, "and that the mystery," what's the word beside mystery there? Secret. For those of us listening, I'm using the Amplified Classic. If you're using the U version, "and that the mystery," that's the secret, "was made known to" who? "To me, and I was" what? "Allowed," watch this, "to comprehend by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote to you." Verse 4. "When you read this, you can understand my" what? "Insight into" what? "The mystery of Christ." So there's something referred to as the mystery of Christ. So we'll keep going. It's not mysterious. Verse 5. "This mystery," what did he say about it? "Was never disclosed to human beings in time past or in past generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, consecrated messengers, and prophets by the Spirit." I want you to see verse 5 again. "This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in time past or in past generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, consecrated messengers, prophets by Spirit. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, joint partakers, sharing in the same divine" what? "Purpose in Christ through the acceptance of the glad tidings of the gospel." Paul says there is a mystery, there's a secret, something that was not revealed before. Now, when you read Ephesians, something Ephesians sounds familiar. And that's why last week you said we're going to read Ephesians Monday through Friday, chapter 1 to 5. And then this Monday you read Ephesians chapter 6, and then you get to Colossians 1 and Colossians 2. So believing that you read Colossians 1 yesterday, let's go to Colossians 1. I just want to tie this up by showing you something. Colossians chapter 1. I trust that you're there. We'll pick it from 25. Colossians 1, 25. It says, "In it I became a minister in accordance with the divine stewardship which was entrusted to me," sounding like what he said, "entrusted me for you as its object and for your benefit, to make the word of God fully known" where? "Among you." 26. "The mystery of which was" what? "Hidden for generations and" ages, or ages and generations actually, "from angels and men, but now is revealed to his holy people, the saints." 27. "To whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of realizing the glory." So Paul is saying in Colossians something he said in Ephesians, that up until now there was something everybody did not know. It was kept, it was hidden. Now God's made it known in our own time, and that's the fact that the Gentiles are going to be brought into the commonwealth. That's the fact that the Gentiles are going to be heirs together with the Jews. Now someone says, okay, how does that affect me? In every single way. In every single way. But Colossians now adds that the secret of all of this is that Christ will become revealed in you. Christ will become revealed in you. Christ will become revealed in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Say creature. Creature sounds like creation sounds nicer. Creature sounds like a species from somewhere, an alien. All right? Say creature. Say creature. Well, it sounds like something. What creature is that? You know, it sounds, you know, but when you say creation, oh yeah. But when you say creature, it sounds funny. But what you are is that, a creature. You're from a world different from this one. You're not from here. Issue is, you've stayed here for so long, you think like this place. So what we've got to do by God's word is, Bible calls it the renewal of mind. So you and I have got to now come to the word and say, hey, so what's the word? How does the word describe me? For instance, so Colossians 1:27 says Christ in you, yeah? And then unconsciously we say, but I'm just human. You can't be human if Christ is in you. You're human, but you're not just human. But you might better say, I'm also human. I never even got that English. It means I'm not really human, but I am. But I'm not, but I am. Notice how Jesus introduced himself. He will say, Son of Man. Then in another context again, he will say, Son of God. You almost wonder, what is he saying? Which one is correct? Both of them. When he says, Son of God, he's talking from a point of his divinity. When he says Son of Man, he speaks from the point of his humanity. Because he was both Son of Man and Son of God. Yes or no? So in John chapter 3, Jesus himself now said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So that makes you Son of Man. But he now ends by saying, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That also makes you Son of God. So you are Son of Man and Son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called. So are you not Son of God? So the same way Jesus was both Son of Man and Son of God, then the new creation or the new creature is Son of Man, Son of God. Difference is, he was first divine, then human. Your case, you were first human, then divine. Are you getting that? You understand that? John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh. So he was the Word, then he took on human form. So he was first divine, then human, but he didn't lose his divinity. Philippians tells us he laid aside his heavenly weight and glory. Didn't mean he lost his divinity. He laid aside the glory, but he still carried the divinity in it. So he was first divine, then human. But we were first flesh, like Adam. But the day you got born again, you ceased. You stopped being only human. You stopped being just human. Something changed. Something changed. Something changed. Something changed. God moved into you. Oh, glory to God. So Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? He didn't write that to everybody. He was writing to the Christian. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Don't you know that the Spirit of God does what? Now, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you can't be only human. I trust we're still together. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's travel a bit back. So I'll switch to NLT. When I need the amplified, I'll come back to it. So Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of who? Christ Jesus. He says, may God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you peace or grace and peace. Verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is about to bless us. Who is thinking of blessing us. Who will bless us when we become good. Are you sure? So, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with who? Now, so this blessing is available to only a set of people. The ones that are united with who? Now, if you use the regular King James, it said the blessings are in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in. So the moment you get into Christ, you are in the position or a location of blessing. You got to get this. Let me say this while I'm at it. I'll get there closer when we enter chapter 2. You know, we sing songs like, come and take your place, O God. All right, you heard, you've sang it, I've sang it before. You know, we've all sang, take your place, take your place. All right, but I can't tell if anyone has, some of you, I did a teaching along this line like maybe 4 years ago. All right, and I said, God is not taking his place. God is in his place. You need to understand this. So there's no place he's, where is he? Did he get up from the throne and strode away and he was already in like Jupiter? So we're trying to talk to him. He cannot hear us. Why? Because he's no longer in his place. So we say, oh, come and take your place. God didn't leave his place. All right? Because in the same breath, sometimes in the same service, we will now sing again, you are God from the beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God. So you are always God. So you are God. So he's always God. He never stopped being God. So where is God? In his place. The reason why things are not happening the way we expect them to is because we are not in our own place. So it's not about God being in his place. Please get this. It's not God. It's not, oh God, you need to be in your place. Oh, take your place. No, he's always in place. Are you understanding this, please? And how do you take your place? You take your place by coming into a reality of what is already available. It's knowledge. It's knowledge. How do you take your place? Knowledge. I love Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform there is interesting. It's to transfigure. It's to change. So if I want to enjoy transformation, then I've got to go through a renewal of my mind. I have to keep exposing my mind to revelation from God's word. Please understand this. The word transformation there, or transform, is the same word for metamorphosis. So we know that a butterfly doesn't show up first as a butterfly. All right? The first stage is what now? Pupa? And then it starts. Yes or no? But you know that with this stage being pupa, all things being the way they should be, this is a butterfly in the making. Who's getting there? But it doesn't look like one. But in a matter of time, it will change into one. So you might not look like what the Word of God says you are. In a matter of time, you'll be changed into one. But the key from Romans 12 is you set your mind there. You renew your mind. So the key to transformation, the renewal of mind, is more important than prayer. And prayer is important. But you cannot pray right if you don't understand right. You got to get this. So the renewal of mind is important. You've got to have your mind renewed. Do you know there are times you are tempted to pray about something and say, I'm not praying about it? You say, why? You say, because God's word already settled it. Well, you can't talk like that if you don't know what the word said. Who's getting me this evening? Just know this is what the word said. You have pains all over your body and the devil tells you, God will never heal you. You say, yeah, he won't. Because he has. But I know, we know it, but when the pain hits you, don't you unconsciously feel like saying, God, when am I going to see the manifestation? And sometimes that's a trick. Who got the trick? Who got the trick? When you say, when am I going to see the manifestation? Be careful. You're actually saying it hasn't happened. I can repeat myself. Mark 11:24, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When? When you pray. I repeat. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When? When you pray. I repeat. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall what? When do you believe you receive it? No, relax. You need to be sure you get the question right. When does the Bible say believe you receive? When you pray or when you see it? When you pray or when you receive? Now, when you believe you receive, how do you behave? You're confident? It's yours? You move like there's nothing else? Then you now say, God, I know I believe I receive, but God, I want to see it. Do you believe you receive it? Do you believe you receive it? Question. When was Joseph blessed? When he became prime minister? So when you spend time talking to God about manifestation, you might unconsciously become a Thomas that is saying, I know you told me Jesus has resurrected, but if I don't see him with my eyes, I'm not going to believe it. Manifestation. But you say, no, I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. You know, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. It means faith is a fight. There's a fight to faith. Now, of course, the context could be the fight of faith, which is a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. But every day there's a fight to your faith. There's something trying to contest with your faith. Something trying to disagree with it. So you have to come into God's word and get to Ephesians 1:3 and say, blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed me. You don't know how you're going to pay your next bill. And you're screaming, I'm blessed. You don't know how you're going to do the next thing. And you're shouting, I'm blessed. Someone says, why are you doing that? And there's no manifestation. No, I am the manifestation. Let me explain before it turns to red for somebody. Just leave church. Guess what? What? I am the manifestation. You might not have understood what I was trying to say. All right. Yes. Say, I believe I receive. Please say, I believe I receive. One more time, I believe I receive. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. So when would it become yours? Say, it's mine. To say it's mine. I have it. It's settled. Sorted. It's mine. That conviction you have, please hear me now, is what you and the Holy Spirit will work on. Mark 11:23 says, what things ever you desire, so desire, when you pray, so pray, believe you have received it and you shall have it. The key to having it is what? There should be desire. Pray, then what do you do? Believe you have what? Received it, then what's going to happen? You shall have. So we say, well, that you shall have. That's a manifestation. I'm not saying it isn't, but the key to you getting there is how? I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. Not I will believe better when I have it. I already believe now that it is mine. The word receive there is to take. So I have taken it. It is my own. Between I believe I receive and have, you and the Holy Ghost sort that out. What do I mean? There will now be the workings of the Spirit. There will be the leadings of the Spirit. There will be the promptings of the Spirit, the arrangements of the Holy Ghost in the how. But something has to be clear to you. I believe I have received it. That has to be clear. It shouldn't waver. I believe it's mine. It's mine. Before it turns to faith teaching, let's switch. I mean, it's all faith teaching anyway. It's all faith. Because the preaching and teaching of God's word produces faith, yeah? Stirs faith. It affirms faith. Let's just run straight to chapter 2. Maybe next week again I'll come a bit to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. Glory to God. All right. Ephesians 2, 1. And once you were what? Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey. So we'll pause and get back to the beginning. Once you were what? Come on, read with me. Once you were dead. Say dead. Once you were dead. Say I was dead. Say I was dead. So if you were dead, then what are you now? We said that last week. Alright, if you're not here, you missed it, or you couldn't stream online, it's available on Spreaker. You don't revive what is not dead. So as a believer, what you need is not revival. Because you're not dead. You were dead, you're alive. However, Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 5 and he said, awake. So someone that is alive could be asleep. And what do you tell him? Awake. So wake up. But not revive. I don't know if you get that. Because you're not dead. You're not dead. Someone said, why is that important? It's just semantics. No, it's scripture. Bible didn't call me dead, so I don't call myself dead. So I don't pray prayers of God revive me. No, I'm not dead. Alright? Now, would there be certain things that you feel are dead? Oh, I want to revive my Bible study. Because you feel it's there. You are not dead. When you wake up, all those other things, they wake up. Because it's you. I want to say something, and I'll say a bit, but we'll say better as we go on. Anybody ever needed a miracle? I'm sure it's all of us. Right? But do you know? Okay, that takes us back to Ephesians 1. I was trying to run to Ephesians 2. So I need to go back to Ephesians 1. Do you know? Do you know that you are the biggest miracle? You. I'm going to explain that. For you to be the new creation is a miracle in itself. And it wasn't an ordinary miracle. So inside the new creation is already deposited all of God's available power. So when we sing, send down power. Holy Ghost power. Send it again. The Holy Ghost does not have power to send. I'll explain. You get it. Because power is not coming. Power has come. So the believer is sitting with the biggest power ever. I'm sure I already know where I'm going in Ephesians 1. So let's just find it, right? 16. Ephesians chapter 1. And then the 16th verse. Ephesians 1, 16. So I'm using NLT right now. It says, I have not stopped thanking God for you I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in the in your knowledge of God. So he's praying for wisdom, you, so you know something. Verse 18. I pray that your heart will be what? Flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are rich, or who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Verse 19. I also pray, please watch this. This is a prayer. I also pray that you will what? Understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who. Is there anybody who believes here? Is there anybody who believes here? So it says, I pray also that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who do what? Believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now he is far above all ruler or authority, any ruler, authority, power, leader, anything. Verse 19 amplified. What there? And so, Amplify Classic. And so that you can know, I want you to follow, and understand, are you ready? This explains a lot. Anybody ever heard that old, very old story about this man who wanted to travel, and then back then, everybody traveled by sea. So he saved up enough money to make the trip, all right? And it was going to be, you know, a trip by ship for 3 months. Saved up enough money just to buy the ticket. Got on the ship, began the journey. He didn't have money to enjoy the meals on the ship, so he had some biscuits, crackers with him. So each time it was, you know, meal time, everybody goes into the dining. He goes somewhere, you know, and hides to try to eat. And then it was a 3 month long journey. So about the last night of the trip, someone found him, you know, somewhere, and said, I noticed you've not been joining us to eat on this trip. You know that? Why? I said, let me be very sincere with you. I only was able to purchase the ticket for the trip. I couldn't purchase the meal. So I sorted myself out and, you know, try to hide. The person told him the ticket covered the food. And if you got that. So your food was already bought when you bought the ticket. So every nice meal we ate all through 3 months. Chai, you're feeling for him now. Every nice meal we ate here for 3 months, your ticket covered it. Your ticket covered it. You just didn't know. All right, as pitiable as that sounds, our case might be worse. Eh? Why don't you stay with me? It's just a few more minutes. There is so much power available for the church. It's amazing. That power is amazing. And that's why Paul prayed the prayer he prayed here. So amplified. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. I want you to follow. Verse 20. Which he exerted when he what? Raised. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him where? So the power that, as it were, dug into hell to pull the spirit of Jesus back into his body,
That power that entered the body that didn't have blood anymore, made it able to walk through walls. That power that levitated the body, it could ascend into heaven. All of that energy is resident in everybody right now. It's either it's a lie, or we don't understand what the Bible is saying. But it can be a lie. That's as powerful as one believer is. Do you know the devil knows this? Demons know this. Angels know this. God knows it. It's the most important people that don't know it. And that's us. I'd rather, and please hear me, I'd rather you and I make these our meditation as much as possible this year, until the thing intoxicates us, until we're filled with the thought that in me, resident in me now, is a very power of God. If anything could raise us from the dead, I think I solve half of the problems here. Maybe half. If anything can raise us from the dead, it can solve half of our problems. Maybe half. We can manage it solves half. Because we pursue the problem, not knowing that resident in us is the solution. That's why I said, you are the miracle. Someone says, how? Bible said God moved you from darkness into light. That power that can move you can put money in your pocket. But we pursue the money and forget that there's resurrection power. Ephesians 2. I want to get there before we close. Let's just jump straight to verse 4. Amplified. Ephesians 2, 4. Ephesians 2, 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Are you there? It's beautiful. But God, so rich is he where? God is rich in mercy. Alright? The prophet tried describing it. He said his mercies are what? Every morning is fresh. Imagine a bullion van always parking in front of your house every morning. Fresh. Whether I finish yesterday's money or not, new one. God is rich. God is so rich in mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, we were, past tense, dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses. He made us alive together where? In fellowship and in union with Christ. Meaning in the mind of God, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, you resurrected with him. I say, but I know this thing now. Maybe that's the issue. We so much know it in our heads, we're not allowing it to get to our hearts. You know, there's this picture that seems to play in the minds of a number of Christians. We agree that Jesus came. We agree he didn't have any sin. We agree he died for us, took our sin, died for us. We agree he resurrected. Suddenly, when he was ascending, we agree we ascended with him. But we now got to the gate. They now told us to wait. So Jesus now went far inside. They now did coronation ceremony for him. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. You know, sometimes you sing that song as if you are the one that crowned him. As if they told you to go and bring the crown. Come on, guys. We were not present at the ceremony. We were recipients of it. Were you at the cross physically? No, but spiritually, scripturally speaking, you were present there. Anyway. So we now treat it like they told us to wait. So Jesus now sat down. You know, they now finish the whole ceremony. God said, I forgot some people at the door. They now told us all to come inside. They now give us benches. You know, so we have benches we sit on. So, anytime you want to talk to him, you must kneel down. Feel so unworthy. I know I'm not even supposed to be here. Just forgive my sin. We talk to him like he didn't do anything. You need to get this. He left where he was to come to where we are, so that he can pick us from where we are back to where he was. Now, can theologically want to rearrange that, but I think it's simple enough for someone to understand it that way. It's ABC. We can now do advanced explanation. But he left where he was to come to where we are, to pick us from where we are, so that we can be where he is. I got around them. But God, so rich is he in mercy, because of an another to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he has. So God loves you intensely. God loves you wonderfully. Even when we're dead, slain by our shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive where? Please follow me. He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Look at this part. He gave us the very... I can't enter this one today. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. The same new life with which... Do you remember Romans 8:11? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. Right? So he's saying that exact resurrection life has been given to you. Jesus did not just give his life for you. He gave his life to you. Did you hear what I said? He didn't just die, you know, no greater love for a man to lay down his life for friends. He didn't just give his life for you. He gave his life to the life God, I have come that you may have. We're getting it. Okay, hurry up. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor, mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's what? So when something is going wrong, I say, no, God is judging me. God, no, you are delivered from where? You have to come here to understand it. You have to read it here. Are you saying nothing goes wrong? When a believer does wrong, it's not God judging you. Systems judge you. What do I mean? If I use my bare hands to touch a very hot pot, what happens to me? Did God stand beside that pot and say, Toba, fuck, Mama, Joe, Mama, make sure, you know, everybody doesn't understand what I'm saying. Now, is it God that now made sure he burnt you? No, it was the system. You touch something hot, it burns you. You jump up from a three-story, you're coming down. God is not monitoring. You want to jump? You want to jump? I will show you. You are going down. No, you will go down because of gravity. Who got that? So, if you cheat in an exam and they catch you, God made them catch me. No, the lecturer caught you. Don't you understand? They said, don't cheat. And the lecturer, his eyes are running to and fro. That's not God. Anybody get in there? God, don't make them catch me. They can catch you. God already told you what to do. Anybody get in there? He told Adam, the day you eat of this, he didn't say, I will kill you. The day you eat of this, you will die. This is what it will do to you. I'm not going to kill. No, it's not me coming to kill you. This is what the system will do to you. Who got that? So I've been delivered from that. And verse 6, and he raised us up where? Remember that picture I told you? So we elevated with him and they told us to wait at the gate. So he raised us up together with him and made us sit, how? Down together, giving us what? Joint sitting with him where? By virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah. So, Where is he seated? Where are you seated? Somewhere different or the same place? Who needs to take a place, him or you? I need to close on that. I can only ask you, can some of these thoughts be your meditation? I'm seated together with him. I'm seated. Where is he seated? Far above principalities and power. Far above. If I'm seated together with him, and where is this the best place possible? It means I have access to the best life possible. What are you doing? You're doing what Colossians 3 tells us, and we're going to end on that. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. We'll just switch to... Just New King James is fine. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 3. Tempted to go to Amplified again. It's interesting. Okay, let's amplify it. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Amplify. If then you have been raised with Christ to what? A new life. Thus sharing what? His resurrection from the dead. Aim at and seek the what? Rich eternal treasures that are where? Above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Are you seated where he's seated? So he's saying in that place there are rich eternal treasures. What then do we do? Verse 2, and set your mind and keep them set on what is where? Above, the higher things, the rich eternal treasures, not on things that are where? On the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have what? Died. And your new life, real life, is hidden with Christ. Anybody got that? Maybe you go home, read that. I am seated with him. But if I don't fix my mind there. Listen, if you don't settle your mind in your position, you won't maximize your possessions. Right? I'm not trying to rhyme. It just made sense. Please get that. You have a position in Christ. And there are possessions in that place. The blessing is there. The rich treasures of God. The wisdom. The power. They are there. But if your mind is not settled there. I'm handling today's service like an introductory class. I think it's needed. If your mind is not settled on who you are. We'll drive this thing till we get it. It's still February, January, Abby. Third month, Abby, third week. So we have time. We'll drive it. We'll get it. We'll drive it. We'll have to. We'll get this thing. We'll get it. Because you no longer have an identity. Paul said, I've been crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ is living in me. So the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So there was an exchange. We swapped. Someone else is using my body. You say, how? Because I died and Christ is living where? In me. So I will function not like the old me, but I'll function like the Christ influenced me or Christ indwelt me, because the new me now is not the old me. So the way I handle issues then is not the way I'll handle it now. Someone now lives in me. But if I do not renew my mind to this, I will keep conforming. That's what the Word of God teaches us. So you and I have got to consistently come to God's Word. Alright, so with that I end tonight. Alright, so I want to beg you. It's simple. We cannot and say, I heard it before. Thank you for saying it again. Try, please, and read Ephesians all over again. I know right now you're in Colossians. Go back to Ephesians if you can. Go back to Ephesians. Go back to Colossians. Just, please, just read. Please, just read. Yeah? So maybe next week I'll talk a bit. I'll see you next week. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.